We recently studied together on the topic of seeking the Lord's understanding, and we looked at a number of the principles that God teaches in His Word that will enable us to receive understanding from Him as we seek that understanding. One of those points that we just mentioned that came out in some of those verses that we studied before is one that we want to really hone in on in a study together this morning, which is what the Lord refers to as the way, the road or pathway of understanding. So it is one of these conditions that we have to meet in order for God to be willing to give us His understanding. So when we're seeking to have the wisdom and understanding that only God can give, there is a particular pathway that we have to be willing to walk on, or God is not going to give us that understanding. And that pathway of understanding is for us to receive correction. Now, that's based in the fact that God has a very high calling for us. There is a mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, using God's words that He inspired through the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 14 of that book. A very high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And what is that high calling? Well, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is that we would be conformed to the image of His Son, which that image, of course, is the image of the Father Himself. Jesus came to show us the Father, to declare unto us the Father, to show us the heart of the Father. So what we see in the heart of Christ, of course, is the heart of God, and we need to have that heart in us. That's what our goal is. So we all know Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. Verse 28, where we have one of those exceeding great and precious promises from God, where He says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And there's a reference right there in that last word of verse 28. We have been called to a purpose. God has a purpose for us, which if He's going to promise to work all things together for our good, if we do love Him, which means we have to keep His commandments, and are one of those who are among the called out ones to His purpose, well, what is that purpose? He doesn't neglect to tell us what it is. And in the next verse, He says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, does Jesus, is His goal and desire to be the only one like His Father in heaven? Or does He want to have many brethren there that are also in the same image? And that's what the goal is. And so it's God's purpose that He have His eternal dwelling place filled with His children that that He has been able to conform to His image, which is the image of His Son who's at His right hand, that image of Christ. Well, what higher calling could there be than for us to have the heart of God in us, for our heart to be like His? I mean, there could not be a higher calling than that. And when we look at it in terms of how God describes the purpose of a disciple, as He does in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 6, verse 40, well, we know that the Christians, disciples were called Christians first at Antioch in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Well, as a Christian, by definition, we are disciples of Christ. Well, what is the purpose of a disciple? Is there one? Of course, there is. Luke chapter 6 and verse 40 says the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Everyone that is complete will be as his master. Well, we're to follow Christ as His disciple. Well, to follow Him to what? Well, to that goal of being like Him, to be complete like He is in His Father's image. And so we need to be in the image of Christ, which is the image of the Father. That is His purpose for us as His disciples. Well, for us to get there, to that goal, for us to reach that high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and we look at where we are now at this particular moment in time, each and every one of us, and we should all be better than we used to be. We should all be more like Christ now than we were before. But wherever we are right now, where are we in terms of where we need to be? Are we there yet? I can very clearly tell you, no, I'm not where I need to be yet. I doubt I'm alone in that assessment of myself. I think we would all, if we're honest, we can see we need to change. In order for us to fulfill God's purpose, for us to be conformed to the image of Christ, we may be somewhat in his image now, and that would be where we should be, maybe even a lot or in a lot of ways. But for us to reach that purpose, to have that fulfilled, we have to change. That is a must. So we cannot remain like we are. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, he describes this. Well, the language he uses here in this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, this is the glory of the New Testament. He mentions in verse 6 how they had been made able ministers of the New Testament. Then he speaks of the glory of it in the very next verse, in contrast to the Old Covenant, which had a glory. Well, so does the New Testament, but it's not even comparable in two ways that he teaches in the following verses. Number one, the glory of the Old Testament was one that was very temporary, and it was something that could only be beheld indirectly. That was Moses' face shining as he came down from the mountain. And we had that study about 40 days and 40 nights not too long ago, series, and you may recall that that was one of those situations or circumstances in Scripture that we're told about, where we had that a period of time of 40 days and 40 nights, but twice with Moses going up into the mount, because when he went the first time and received the tables written with God's finger, those commandments, and he brought them down from the mountain, and he saw the people having made that golden calf that they were worshiping, and he broke the tables. Well, he was called back up into the mountain, and there was another 40 days and 40 nights, but he came back with the tables again. That second time when he came back, he had his face was shining brilliantly and had to put a veil over it. That's all recorded in the latter part of Exodus chapter 34, just for a refresh if you want to look at that a little bit later. But in Exodus 34, it describes that situation when Moses came down from the mountain with his face shining so brilliantly that the people could not directly behold it, and he had to put a veil over his face. Well, that shining of his face, we're not told how long that lasted, but it wasn't permanent. Moses himself, his face wasn't permanent, as we know, but it was temporary, and it could only be beheld through a veil. The glory of the New Testament is not like that. It is eternal, and it is something we can behold directly, which is what verse 18 hones in 2 Corinthians 3. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass. So this is not something that we can only see through a veil. This is something that we can openly see. What are we seeing in the New Testament? That is its glory. He says, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now recently we studied about that glory we saw in that same beginning of Exodus 34, when God revealed himself to Moses and he showed him his glory, and he showed him his nature. And God is love. So when we see the glory of God in the New Testament, we are seeing the very heart, the nature, that divine nature, which in a word, God is love. We're seeing the love of God in all its parts when we behold Christ in the New Testament. That's what he came to reveal. So we can openly see all of that glory, the parts of the love of God, especially as it is revealed through Christ, God's Son. Well, why has God revealed that so plainly for us to see openly in the New Testament? And he says in verse 18, the latter part, that as we, with open face, behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, he says, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, which part of us is changed into that image of God that we can see in the New Testament through Christ? It's our inner man. And so that part of us lasts how long? It's eternal. So this is the eternal glory of the New Testament, that we can see the very heart of God and that we can be conformed, and that is to have that heart formed in us. But there we can see the word that is used there in verse 18, change. We have to change in order for that purpose of God to be fulfilled. So we have to change to grow into that image. That's change, that's growth spiritually. The word of God in 1 Corinthians, just a couple of pages from where we are in 2 Corinthians 3, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that chapter that has as its subject primarily that excellent way, which is the love of God, but as that is revealed in the word of the New Testament, the gospel of Christ, that word shows us not only, of course, what the image of Christ is, the image of God, but it also shows us what we're like. Well, if we're going to be changed into that image to be like him, don't we need to see something of what we are right now at any given point in time so that we can see where we need to go, what we need to change, how we need to grow? And so he tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, 11 and 12, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now that's what can happen and what should happen as we grow in understanding of the complete revelation of the New Testament. So when we study that, we see with open face, that as in a glass, that glory of the Lord, to be changed into the same image from glory to glory. Do we not need to know ourselves as we are known, and as we're known by whom? Who knows us? God does. Should we see ourselves the way we would like to see ourselves, or should we see ourselves the way God sees us? Does God see us in some imaginary way that we've come up with, well, the way we really think we're like? No. What does God see when he looks at us? He sees what's there. He sees what's there, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of that. So whatever's in our heart, that's what God sees. He sees that clearly. Well, do we need to see that? Do we need to see what we're like? We do. We need to see what we're like. We need to see where we need to go. That requires understanding. We need to have understanding of the heart of God. We need to have understanding of ourselves so that we can fulfill his purpose and be changed into that image of God from glory to glory. That's why this pathway of understanding is so important, so we can change. It can't happen without us receiving his understanding, but that can't happen without us having the willingness to change, which means we have to accept what he teaches us in his word that is wrong with us. And we have to receive that correction from him so that we can change and grow. Now, the way of fools, the road of fools, which is the opposite of the road to understanding, to God's understanding, those who are fools and lack understanding, well, they see all of their ways as clean, as pure and right. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 12, again, we're going to have now quite a few verses from the book of Proverbs on this subject to look at, but Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 12 says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. So what they're seeing of themselves, is it the same or different from what they are? And is that a rare thing, or does it say there's a generation? Is this a widespread problem that man has? Very much so. So do we see ourselves as being clean and pure? What's going to happen if we see ourselves that way, but in fact, spiritually, we're filthy? Well, are we going to change if we think we're already pure and right in every way? I mean, what would we be needing to change? So that's a problem that he's pointing out there that afflicts mankind. In chapter 16, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 2, he says, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." So there again is how man sees himself versus how God sees the man. Is it the same or different? Well, very often, typically, it's quite different. Also, we see this in Proverbs 21, verse 2. "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." Now, for us to be right and clean in our own eyes, where God's seeing something different, do we have or lack understanding? Well, we're lacking in understanding if we're seeing ourselves one way, but it's different than the way God sees us. God knows the truth about us, and he's weighing and pondering what he's seeing in us. Well, we need to understand our way truthfully so that we do not end up spiritually destroyed. Where is it going to lead if we continue to see ourselves as being right and clean and pure when if we're not? That's not going to lead to life eternally. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So what is the end of that road if we're fools and we see ourselves as right when we're not? Where God sees us as we really are. If we persist down that road where we are deceived by our own selves, where do we end up? Seems right, but where does it end? Where does it lead? He says to death. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 12. "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him." I mean, what can you do with somebody who is convinced of their rightness? There's no hope. You can't do anything there. They lack understanding. And can we give that understanding to somebody? We can't. Only God can. But somebody who's wanting to see themselves like that and won't receive God's correction, they're not going to be given understanding by God. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 8, he says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit." And that's in the context of how we see ourselves. Would a fool want to see his foolishness, or would he prefer to be deceived about himself and see himself as wise even though he's a fool? The fool would rather see himself as wise even though he's a fool. His folly is that deceit. Verse 8, the beginning there, verse 8, though, says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way." If we're going to be wise, we need to understand our way. We need to understand ourselves, what we're like, and as God sees us, because he's only going to see what is true about us and what is the way we really are. Proverbs 28 and verse 26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." Now, how many times do you hear people say, just follow your heart? You ever heard anybody say that? You hear it all the time. People say, just follow your heart. If you want to know the right way to go, just listen to your heart. Where do we find that in Scripture? Where do we find Scripture teaching us to follow our own hearts? Well, we find that subject addressed right here in this verse, but he's saying exactly the opposite, isn't he? "He that trusts in his own heart is a fool." So if we listen to our heart and we follow our heart, where's it going to take us? That's foolishness, and it's going to take us to death and destruction of our souls. We don't want to listen to our hearts. We don't want to trust in our own hearts. We want to listen to God and trust in him, listen to his word, not what we think about ourselves. We need to listen to what he has to say. Well, we need his understanding for that to happen. And so there is a road that we need to walk down so that we can actually see and understand our way. And that is the road of receiving reproof and correction from God. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 9. We looked at these verses briefly at the end of our study before about seeking understanding, but let's go back here now as we really see how this connects to the rest of these scriptures that we've been looking at this morning. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. So he says in verse 6, "Forsake the foolish and live." Well, what have we been seeing is the way of a fool? Trusting in his own heart, being clean and right in his own eyes, being deceived about himself. So what does he say about that? Forsake the foolish and live, because we can't live if we're deceived about ourselves. He says, go in the way of understanding. What is that word way? What does that mean? That's the road, the pathway. There is a road or pathway to God's understanding. Only he can give that understanding. As we saw previously, what did we learn from Job 28? Is understanding and wisdom, God's wisdom and understanding, is it found among in the land of the living? Is it among men? Are we going to be able to find it anywhere of this earth? No, it's only from God. And so we have to seek it from him, and we have to fulfill whatever he says are the conditions that he has in order to give that. Well, this is a big one here. Go in the way of understanding. Well, are we going to get it if we don't walk the road? We're not. So we got to walk this road. What is it? Verse 7, "He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot." So what does a scorner or a wicked man do with rebuke? This is the reason why Jesus taught us to, in Matthew 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, not to cast our pearls before swine or give that which is holy to the dogs. He says, lest he turn again and rend you. What happens if you correct somebody who is a fool and wicked? They're going to hate that. They're going to respond. They're going to turn on us. And they will cause us to have a blot, as he says. So should we, if we discern that kind of a heart in someone, should we be giving them that correction and rebuke or not? That's somebody to leave alone if they show themselves to be like that. But the point here is, are we like that? Are we scorners? Do we scorn others' efforts to try to help us to do better? And if they show us something we need to do better, do we scorn that? Do we turn on them? Do we reject them, get angry at them because they're trying to help us to see what we're like? Remember Peter when Jesus came to him when, of course, he was there with, it was Peter and Andrew and James and John, those fishermen there. But when Jesus caused their nets to be breaking from the multitude of fishes with that miracle there when he called them, what did Peter say to him? "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." I mean, how many people have that kind of heart? Very rare to see that kind of humility. He was not a scorner. He was somebody that recognized where his own problems were, his own weaknesses. He didn't feel worthy to be in Christ's presence. But we know what Christ did with Peter and what he can do with us. But we have to have that kind of humble heart where we're not going to be a scorner of his correction. And he says here further in verse 8 of Proverbs 6, or Proverbs 9, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." Well, do we want to increase in learning? Do we want to have more wisdom and more understanding? So what's the pathway here? Not to be a scorner, not to reject instruction and correction, but rather to be willing to receive it, where we will love somebody who's trying to help us by showing us things that we need to do better. And that's how we should respond to them. that's how we need to respond to God and those whom God is using, bringing the scriptures to us to help us to see what our way is like so that we can change it. Otherwise, we're not, and we will not grow in the image of Christ without that understanding of his image and of what we're like spiritually right now at this point. This is necessary for us to grow and to change. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 17. Proverbs 10:17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. So what is the way of life? Well, it was what we just saw in the previous chapter, the way of understanding. The way of understanding and the way of life, are those separate roads? Is that the same road? That is the same road. So that road of understanding, that road of life, is keeping instruction. We need to receive it and we need to keep it. That's something we should love. We must. Chapter 15, Proverbs 15, verses 31 and 32. Proverbs 15, 31 and 32. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Are we seeking understanding? Do we desire to get more understanding from God? What must we do in order to get understanding? We've got to hear the reproof. We've got to listen to it. We've got to receive it. We have to love that. And if we don't, then we're going to be destroyed. But if we hear that reproof of life, we'll be abiding among the wise. And that, of course, is what is necessary for us to grow in the image of Christ. Proverbs 19 and verse 25. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. So he says, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. Who's going to pay attention to that? Who's going to benefit from a scorner being smitten? Is it going to do anything for the scorner? The simple that see it, they might get something out of that. But when he speaks there of the one who is has understanding, who's going to benefit from that man being reproved? Others or the man himself? Well, he says, he that reprove one that has understanding, and he will understand knowledge. That one with understanding is going to understand more. He's going to get more understanding if he's corrected, because he's going to receive it. The scorner won't. But a man of understanding, a wise man, will receive that and will continue to grow in more of God's understanding. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23, we can see there's a lot of this and a lot of attention in this book of Proverbs on this subject, which, since it's a book that is about the wisdom of God and his understanding, we would expect to see much about the very road that he describes that we have to walk down in order to get it. And we do see much of that. I have in my notes a line. It's four deep as far as just reference as it goes across the page and comes back. It's a column of four, just the references from Proverbs alone. That's just what I've identified, and I'm not about to claim that I haven't missed some there. It's probably longer than that, but point is, it's almost every chapter, if it's not every chapter in the book of Proverbs. This is a book that deserves our study and attention, particularly from that standpoint, so that we can have more of God's understanding, so that there can be hope for us to grow in the image of Christ, and for us to have our souls saved in the end. But chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." So he calls it the way of understanding. He calls it the way of life over and over again. But this is that pathway that we have to walk down, and we have to be willing to receive the instruction, the reproof, the correction from God in his word. And if we're willing to do that, then we can grow in the image of Christ. If you're here this morning and you have not yet become a child of God, well, this is the opportunity to begin to walk down this road that we've just been studying about, so you can have eternal life. Well, it begins by our believing in Jesus Christ as God's Son, and then repenting so that we can be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of our sins. But repentance requires us to see our own errors and be willing to turn from that to follow Christ. Well, if you're willing to do that, and that's the first step on this road of life and understanding, if you're ready to obey the gospel of Christ this morning to become his child, we're encouraging you to do that now. And if you are one of his children, if you've not been walking on that road of life and understanding as you need to, and you need to come back to it, this is an opportunity for you to make things right with him this morning if that is your need. So anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation at this time, please come now while we stand together and sing.